The reading this morning is Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 50. And if you'd like to follow that in the Bible, it's on page 48 of the New Testament, and I'm sure it's on the screen behind me. Mark chapter 9. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A lot of paper here, so I'll just clear it. May I speak in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, looking out, I think word has got out that this is the passage today because a lot of people aren't here. So maybe for once people looked at what was being preached on the preaching card. However, it is being recorded. So if you know people who you know why they're not here, then perhaps you can direct them to the recording. Not an easy passage. I want us to think about the consequences of going our own way. Are we stumbling blocks or are we building blocks? So this is just coming from the end of chapter 9. And chapter 9 starts with the transfiguration. And you might remember that after that, when they came down the mountain, there was a boy with a demonic spirit, and the disciples couldn't cast that spirit out. Jesus all said to them, "You're not praying enough," sort of thing. And then last week they were asking, you know, the disciples, "Who's the greatest?" And Jesus got a bit angry with them, and then he took a little child onto his lap, and he said that. All, because little children were sort of on the margins, all are welcomed into God's kingdom. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but the one who sent me, his Father. And now we have this reading today. Verses 38 to 41. John's got a bit irritated because someone is casting out a demon successfully when it seems they hadn't been very successful. And he said that he's not following us. Nothing about following Jesus. He's not following us. A stumbling block to others, perhaps. Here's an illustration of building barriers rather than bridges. Could be called by an issue of cliqueness. Now, it's natural, I think, for most groups of people to develop a sense of group identity, and we erect barriers to define who does and who does not belong, whether it be in families or friend groups, work environment, politics, and even the church. For centuries, there's been a schism in the church. Who is in and who is out? Are you Catholic? Are you Protestant? Are you charismatic? Are you high church? Are you informal? Are you formal? If you don't do church the way I believe, then you're wrong. So perhaps it's not really very surprising that John was to think that this man who was casting out demons wasn't one of them. But Jesus will not allow John to write this man off. Whatever his background, he is doing good work. He's on the side of good rather than evil. Perhaps the disciples had forgotten that they were in a spiritual battle against the sin of the world and the good of God's kingdom. Not everyone has to be part of a club to belong. They may not wear the name of Jesus on their sleeves, but they may end up to prove to be supporters rather than opponents. As Jesus said, whoever is not against us is for us. Now, John may have preferred to invoke the saying of Matthew, where Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. And I'm sure there are different circumstances where both these sayings would be appropriate. But Jesus is teaching here in this context not to be exclusive. He's teaching about inclusivity and not to jump at negative conclusions when faced with someone who is not like us, who may in fact turn out to be for rather than against. In other words, we should be building blocks rather than stumbling blocks. And may I suggest, and I know it for myself, that when we surround ourselves with like-minded people, we're usually totally unaware that we've made ourselves to be in a clique. I was saddened recently when two people told me that they were leaving the church here after many years because they said that they hadn't made any friends and they felt there was a sense of cliqueness. Now, I know we all have to work together. But the thing is, Jesus will not be in our circle or our clique because he'll be on the outside mixing with people that are not like us. Perhaps sometimes we don't realize that we are being a stumbling block to others, to those who want to belong. And I know it's so easy to be a stumbling block to others without even recognizing it myself. I was recently at the cathedral, and after the service, we were having refreshments in the refectory. And of course, you get groups of people, don't you, talking afterwards. And anyway, I joined a group of people, and including a bishop, actually, which I won't name. And they began to take the mick out of my accent. So much so that they asked me to say a particular word. And when I said it, they said, I knew she would say that. It reminded me of when I went off to Kenya to theological college. A student at Cranmer in Durham said to me he was concerned I wouldn't fit in because of my accent. And then even just a few weeks ago, I was at the hairdresser. And the other person there said, not my hairdresser, who's a great friend, said, where do you come from? I can't recognize your accent. I felt I was not in their circle in all occasions. I didn't fit in because of my accent. But we need to be brave enough to allow Jesus to bring others into our lives and to take us out into the lives of others. We need to pray to God to help us let go of the fear and move beyond our self-imposed circles and safety of familiarity. Of course, this will take us to places where we feel uncomfortable and unsettled. It will take us to places that will be messy because we will have to give up our need of being in control. But it is truly the deeper place where we find all are embraced and held in God's love. Building blocks rather than stumbling blocks. And then verses 42 to 50, not easy to read or to hear, about being a stumbling block to ourselves. Jesus uses shock treatment to jolt his own disciples out of their smug self-complacency. One commentator on these verses said, "You cannot be what you want to be and follow Jesus." He has a higher calling for us, a calling which is more personal. He wants you and me to be what he has created us to be. He designed us, and now he has come calling for us. He has come calling for us to follow him. Now, as I said, it's not an easy passage to read or hear, but I think it's timely as we begin our new autumn series in a couple of weeks' time. It's going to be called entitled Practicing the Way. It's a name of a book. And we'll be looking at what it really means to be an apprentice of Jesus. Being with him, becoming like him, doing what he did. And the author suggests that the church in the West for the last 50, 60 years has been more focused on salvation. By that I mean when we say we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we may then follow that up with baptism. But then living one's life as one is of the world rather than of God's kingdom. Or as the commentator said, wanting to be what you want to be, and yet still pretending to be a follower of Jesus. In these verses, Jesus is telling his disciples what it is like to truly follow him and follow him all the way to the cross. He's saying you can't have your foot, your hands, or your eyes in both camps. Because if you do try this way, then you will be a stumbling block to yourself. And again, no doubt to others, as our saltiness will have got diluted with the mess and sin of the world. I love the confession that Christine chose today. It fits in so well with this passage. Now, of course, these verses are not to be taken literally. Please do not go and maim it yourselves. But they are to be taken very seriously. The hand, foot, eye are probably to be taken as symbolic, or they could be areas of our personality or behavior which prevent us from fulfilling our calling as followers of Jesus. Bad habits, attitudes, characteristics, perhaps unhelpful company may make it difficult for us to live the life of the kingdom of God. If that's the case, let them be amputated, symbolically, before it leads us to stumble down the wrong road to a different life, to a life without Jesus, to a place called Gehenna, or Hillary's reading said hell. Gehenna was the name of a rubbish tip outside the walls of Jerusalem where people just threw their stuff daily. It never burnt out. The chilling words, "the worm never dies and fire is not quenched," these are taken from the last verses of the book of Isaiah, is a picture of life without the promise of eternal life and the hope of the resurrection. It is a grim picture. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, who are following him, but they just have not got it yet. What living in the kingdom of God is like. It's not about conquering the Roman Empire. It's not about opposing a particular leader, replacing that person with the anointed one. No, it's about the chosen one going to the cross. And everyone who decides to follow Jesus must be prepared to take up their own cross too. So what may be the stumbling blocks in our lives that we need to get rid of? I'm sure there will be many. And we will all have areas of sin that we lean into more easily, perhaps depending on our nurturing, whether we were brought up as Christians, whether we asked Jesus into our life later on in our lives. Sometimes the longer we have followed Jesus, the more complacent we become, the more lukewarm we are. A good barometer, I would suggest, is how much of the time daily do we give to Jesus or think about Jesus? Reading our Bibles, giving time to listen to him, praying, asking for wisdom and revelation, guidance and discernment in our decisions with our family and work, and recreation, church. Something is causing us to stumble, then we need to root it out, cut it off. And here's when we need one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, to perhaps help one another to see where the plank is in our own eyes before we point the finger to another. This is where life groups are a good place, or if you're in a prayer triplet, people you know well and trust to speak truth in love into our lives. It's hard. It's hard. I've ministered in a number of churches, including St. Mark's, where I've heard this about someone's ungodly behavior. Oh, that's just so and so. He, she's always been like that. It's who they are. Well, that's not good enough. They may be amazing looking Christians from the outside and probably some on the inside. But Jesus is being very clear here. You cannot have half a foot, half a hand, half an eye in the kingdom of God and the other half in the world we live in. And perhaps enjoy that sort of displacement. Are we even aware what our stumbling blocks are? How do we react to being critiqued or when someone does not agree with us? Do we have an attitude? Are we confident in our identity in Christ, or do we seek approval, power, need to be in control? Are we quick to anger, to gossip, to put people down? Are we workaholics, needing recognition? Or perhaps someone who finds it hard to encourage others and see them flourish in areas that we haven't flourished? I could go on. There are so many ways in which we can be stumbling blocks to ourselves and to others. And Jesus says very clearly, root them out. You can't live half in the kingdom of God on a Sunday and half in the world on a Monday. A question we might ponder this morning is, are we serious about sin, its effect on those around us, and its eternal consequences? Bonhoeffer, who died for his faith while opposing Hitler, said in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, "Cheap grace is the mortal enemy of the church. Our struggle today is for costly grace. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ. For his sake, a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciples leave their nets and follow him. Costly grace is the gospel, which must be sought again and again, and the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. It is costly because it cost God the life of his Son for us. We will all stumble at times, but the important thing is that when we do, we are quick to repent, confess our sins, and receive God's forgiveness. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome this sin and root out that which causes us to stumble. Because God is calling us to be builders of his kingdom, building one another up, not tearing one another down. Followers of Jesus, who open our homes to others, offering hospitality, welcome, a place to belong, giving our time to others, being generous with our possessions and with our money, seeking to encourage others, and extending the sight of our tent to those who are not in our circle or clique. And Jesus ends this part of his teaching saying to his disciples they need continually to be refined by fire. That's allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. To be well seasoned with salt. Living at peace with one another. And it's very easy to lose our saltiness when we forget we're in a battle and allow the way of the world, the enemy, to pull us away from following Jesus and to embrace cheap grace rather than costly grace. To live in peace with our brothers and sisters, we need to deal with our sin, which may well affect the life of others. So today, as we stumble forward together, let us strive to be builders of God's kingdom rather than stumbling blocks to ourselves and others, and especially to new believers. And let us know the peace of God and bear its fruit in our living as we have salt in ourselves and live at peace with one another. We cannot be what we want to be and follow Jesus. So let's just be quiet. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to come. And perhaps we've said our confession earlier on, but having heard Jesus speak through the scriptures, maybe we're aware of a stumbling block we have. Well, let's just give that to Jesus. And if we're unaware that we might not think we have a stumbling block, let the Holy Spirit come and open our eyes to what it may be, so we may walk his way, taking others with our hands with us. So just have a bit of quiet, and then Nicola's going to come and lead us in some worship. And you can stay in that place of reflection and prayer, or you can join in the words, the song, whatever you feel like doing. But let's not cut short the work of the Holy Spirit that is here with us.